This is Pastor Bill Woods, and today I want to talk to you about how no matter what you're going through, whether you realize it or not, Jesus Christ is always there, and he's always available to help you with whatever you have to face if you call upon him. I want to talk today about the topic, who was that guy? Have you ever had a time when you felt your world was collapsing all around you? All your plans had been destroyed and the only emotions that you felt was disappointment and sorrow because things hadn't gone right? It left you wondering, what could inspire you to go on living anyhow? Cleopas and his companion were walking from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus, about 7 miles distance. They had traveled to Jerusalem for their annual celebration of the Passover, and they anticipated a great time of worship and fellowship with other people that were of the same faith. They had not expected the nightmarish ordeal to play out in Jerusalem that week. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 34 gives us their story. I want to read right now from the New Living Translation, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. The Bible doesn't say who Cleopas' companion was. We know there were two people walking. Maybe it was his wife. I like the idea of a married couple walking through life together, honoring God in their marriage, making him the center of their home. What we do know, though, is whoever they were followers of Jesus. Their lives were committed to him because they thought that he was their long-awaited Messiah. But now Jesus was dead and their hopes and their dreams were shattered. Where could they go from here? Jesus had been murdered by their own religious leaders. Who could make sense out of all that's happened this past week? There were tears of regret and confusion. Their world lay crumbled. Their lives had caved in. Where could they go from here? As they walked feeling totally dejected, a man that they didn't know, a stranger, linked up with them and joined into their conversation. Luke 24:15 through 17 says, as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intensely as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. He seemed totally uninformed about what had happened in Jerusalem and the death of the man that they had placed so much hope in. Was this guy living in a vacuum to be so ill-informed? Luke 24:18-21 says, "Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, 'You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days.'" "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and their religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." To further add to their confusion, some women had gone into this tomb and found it empty. Luke chapter 24:22-24. "Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." "Well, this is insane. Where is his body? What are they to believe?" The stranger began to encourage them by telling them all the prophecies concerning the Messiah and how he must suffer and die. Luke 24:25-27, Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wait a minute. Maybe they were not backing a lost cause after all. When they finally got home, the stranger said he must continue his journey, but they insisted he stay the night. Luke 24:28-31. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. Now, can you imagine how they must have felt when they finally realized they had been traveling, eating, and spending time with their resurrected Lord? They'd been wondering, who is this guy anyhow? They couldn't contain their excitement now that they knew they had to tell somebody what had happened. So they headed back to Jerusalem. Luke 24:32-34. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." How quickly we want to claim defeat when our hopes, our plans seem dashed and ready to cave in, and we can't see anything good in what has happened. Remember Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Christ had a plan for them, and he's got a plan for you today. His plans are always so much better than ours. Jesus had told the disciples over and over what was going to happen, but they ran the information through their filters, not God's word. Listen again, Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." You know, Satan uses hard circumstances to make us think things can't get any worse. God uses those same situations to build us and strengthen us and bless us. Can you imagine how Joseph in the Old Testament must have thought God had deserted him when his own brothers sold him into slavery, and then Potiphar's wife had framed him. He went to prison, and while he was in prison, he interpreted the dreams of two men there, and he said to the one that survived, "Now remember when you come before Pharaoh to remind him that I'm here." And the man forgot, and Joseph continued in prison. He must have felt like, "Where is God? Why isn't he doing something for me?" But he remained faithful and trusted God, and God performed a wonderful miracle in his life. Remember, God used those circumstances to prepare him to fulfill God's plan, and I'm so glad that Joseph was faithful. Imagine what he would have missed had he got discouraged and just quit. You know, during a transatlantic flight, the pilot came over the intercom and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be your pilot for this plane's flight. I can tell you the flight is going well. Nevertheless, I have to tell you about a minor inconvenience that has occurred. The passengers on the right side can, if they look out their windows, see that the closest engine is slightly vibrating. That shouldn't worry you, because this plane is equipped with four engines and we are flying along smoothly at the acceptable altitude. As long as you're looking out the right side, you might as well look at the other engine on that side. You will notice that it is glowing, or more precisely, one should say burning. That shouldn't worry you either, as this plane is designed to fly with just two engines if necessary. And we are maintaining an acceptable altitude and speed. As long as we were looking out of the plane, those of you on the left side shouldn't worry if you look out your side of the plane and notice that the engine that is supposed to be there is missing. It fell off about 10 minutes ago. Let me tell you that we are amazed that the plane is doing so well without it. However, I will call your attention to something a little more serious. Along the center aisle, all the way down, the plane has a crack that has appeared. Some of you are, I suppose, able to look through the crack and may even notice the waves of the Atlantic Ocean below. In fact, those of you with very good eyesight may be able to notice a small lifeboat that was thrown from the plane. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be happy to know that your captain is keeping an eye on the progress of the plane from that lifeboat below. And from my point of view, you are doing just fine. You know, today you may feel like a passenger on that plane. Everywhere you look, things are falling apart. It seems that you'll surely crash and burn. You feel like you'll never get ahead, like things are stacked against you. Your marriage is falling apart. Your career is not where you expect it to be by this time. Your finances are not what they should be. Your kids are driving you crazy. You've been to the doctor and received a bad report, and your emotions are all to pieces. You're stressed out of all the time, all the places that you're going, all the things that are going wrong. You just seem to be stressed all the time. You have no peace. It seems like everything is falling apart. And you wonder, why is this happening? What did I do wrong? My life is in pieces. If it seems your life is falling apart, you need to know that God is still in control. He has not fallen off his throne. He still loves you. He has a plan for your life. Remember, he still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He still is rich in mercy. His name is still Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He is still Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is still in control of your life. You may feel like your life is falling apart, like it's going to end. You may feel like everything is broken and it won't get better, but I know a God who is working behind the scenes. He's moving in the unseen realm of the heavenlies, and he is restoring a way for you right now. He is the God who restores. It seemed to Cleopas that the rest of the disciples, that God had been defeated, that somehow Satan had won a victory. Now listen to me. God is never defeated. You can trust him in any and every situation. Are you sick? Has the doctor told you a very bad report? God is there to strengthen you. Are you having financial problems? God can take you through if you follow his program. Are you discouraged? God's plan will encourage you. Listen to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways." Listen, God's plans are always better than our plans. They are the best plans for us. I can remember how discouraged we were when we arrived to our place in Sun Valley one year after we'd been down in Phoenix all winter, and we came home and we saw all the damage that the renters that we had rented to had left for us. They took out 4 months early, not paying the rent, and the winter had caused the pipes to burst and all kinds of damage in the house. And my thought was, why did God let this happen to us? Didn't he know how much stress it added to our lives? We planned to fix that home up so it was more livable, so when we retired, we'd have some place to go. We had very little money to sink into it. We didn't need all that extra damage. The insurance company provided funds for repairs that we could not afford on our own, and we say, praise God, He watches over the little details and provides for our needs. Listen, God successfully completes every work He has started. Luke chapter 8, 20 through to 25, it says, one day Jesus said to His disciples, let's cross the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then He asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazing. Who is this man? They asked each other. When He gives a command, even the wind and waves obey Him. Now remember, Jesus had said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. A huge storm hit them while they were crossing, and they panicked, and they woke Jesus, and He calmed the storm and shamed their lack of faith. Remember, Jesus had said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. He had not said, let's go to the middle of the lake and sink like a rock. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus had warned them that He was going to have to die and He would come back in 3 days. Matthew chapter 12, 39 and 40 says, but Jesus replied, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell His disciples plainly that it was necessary for Him to go to Jerusalem and that He would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, He would be raised from the dead. Couldn't get much clearer than that, but they still didn't understand. Luke 11, chapter 29 and 30, as the crowd pressed in on Jesus, He said, this evil generation keeps asking Me to show them a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of Jonah. What happened to him was a sign to the people of Nineveh that God had sent him. What happened to the Son of Man will be a sign to these people that He was sent by God. John chapter 2, 19 through 22. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. What, they exclaimed, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you can rebuild it in 3 days. But when Jesus said this temple, He meant His own body. After He was raised from the dead, His disciples remembered He had said this and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Finally, John chapter 10, 17 and 18. The Father loves Me because I have sacrificed My life so I may take it back again. No one can take My life from Me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what My Father has commanded. Now, God had told them over and over again what was going to happen. But since they didn't remember that this was God's plan, when it happened, it seemed like the most unbearable tragedy imaginable. God had it all in hand, and they were not going to be forgotten. I remember when we left Deer Valley Church, the Nazarene, we didn't know where God was sending us. We stayed at a friend's place, La Koblenz, his place in Seattle. We were so nervous about our uncertain situation, and I was so pleased that Lyle was there to give some comfort. But God called us into the ministry, and we should have known, rather than worry, that He would provide because He hadn't said, let's go to the center of the lake and sink like a rock. At what we felt was the last minute, God opened the church at Stevenson, Washington. Actually, he was a little behind schedule as far as I was concerned because I had already hit a panic button. I wanted to know what we were going to do long before he revealed it to us. You know, that's the thing about God's timing. He's never late, but he can sure scare you half to death before he does something. Did you play on a teeter-totter when you were a child? You know, two kids getting on the opposite ends of a board that's on a balance, and they bounce each other up and down. Sometimes the one on the downside would stay there and keep his playmate stuck up in the air, yelling and screaming to be let down. The cruelest trick was getting off the teeter-totter when you were at the bottom and running away while your friend was still up in the air, and he would come crashing down the ground with a painful bump. You know, sometimes we feel like Jesus does that to us. We trust he'll be there with us all through our ups and downs of life. However, when life takes a turn and leaves us with bumps and bruises, we may feel like Jesus has walked away, leaving us to come painfully and crashing down. These two on the Emmaus Road probably felt that way, only to find the promise of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to be absolutely intact. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. You ought to memorize that scripture. God is faithful to the end, even when everything seems to be falling apart. This means that in the midst of our pain, even though we may feel all alone, we are not alone. And though we might not feel his presence, he is there as our trusted companion who will never walk away, who will never let us down. What a relief and what joy the Emmaus travelers felt when they finally quit wondering who was that guy and recognized that guy was Jesus. And he was there for them, and he was there at the time they needed him most, and I want to tell you, he's there for you today, too. Hebrews chapter 13, 5b through 6 says, "For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" Are you on the Emmaus Road today? Are you ready to let that "who was that guy" stranger minister to you? Jesus wasn't dead like they thought. He was and is alive. He had not forgotten their needs or the needs of any of his disciples. He hasn't forgotten you either. God's plan is always right on schedule, and he always is right there to know when you need him, he's going to give you the strength you need. Remember what we found out last week at Easter? He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. I was thinking all week long, there used to be an ancient hymn that we used to sing when I was a kid in the Church of the Nazarene in Walla Walla. It was called "Standing Somewhere in the Shadows." And it goes like this: "Are your crosses too heavy to carry, burdens too heavy to bear? Are there heartaches and tears and anguish, and there's no one who seems to care? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Are there shadows of deep disappointment and trusts that have proven untrue? Has the darkness of night settled round you? Has your hope and your faith wavered too? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Has the storm overshadowed your sunshine and life lost attraction for you? Have the dreams that you cherish been broken? Is your soul filled with bitterness too? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands." Listen, Jesus isn't lurking in the shadows. He's there if you want to find him. He's looking for you. He's standing there available. And if you call upon him, he will answer. Oh, Jesus, we're so thankful that you take care of us in every situation. Please forgive us for the panic we feel from time to time. Help us to learn to trust you. And Lord, I pray for those who don't know you as their personal Savior that this would be the day that they would repent and ask you to come into their hearts. You told us if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I know because you said also that you were going to prepare a place for us. And if you went, you were going to come again to take us to where you were, that we might be with you always. And so, Lord, I'd pray for each one of us. We'd draw close to you. The ones that don't know you, they would accept you as their Savior today while there's still time. Please, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to remind you that you can get in touch with me either by text or talk to me on the phone at 623-845-2741. Also, I would remind you if you want to write to me or send me an email, Gmail, it's lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. And I'd be glad to listen to you, write to you, do whatever needs to be done, to pray with you, because my God is able to take care of your every need, and he's not going to desert either one of us. Listen, also, I've had people say that they can't get a hold of my sermons because, well, for some reason, if there's a 1 in front of your phone number, my phone will not send it to you. If you can call your provider and ask them to get that 1 off of there, you can get the number or the sermons when I send them out. Or better yet, maybe you should go to my website, which is churchofthegalilean.com. And all the sermons will be there, clear back to April of 2020. That's churchofthegalilean.com. All run together as one word. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. I've been praying for you, and I'm going to continue. God bless you.